This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. Whether you're in the mood for conversation with this year's Jazz Fest poster artist or a block party in the Arts District, it's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. The New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival, presented by Shell, kicks off weekend two at the New Orleans Fairgrounds. Legendary musicians are honored on this year's 50th anniversary poster, Family Portrait, Jazz Fest at 50. The limited edition silkscreen poster, published by Art for Now, is by artist Scott Guyon, who joins us in studio. Scott, welcome to Inside the Arts.
Thanks for having me, Diane. Great to meet you.
And congratulations on being chosen to produce this year's anniversary poster. Tell me, how did it happen for you?
You know, it's still a bit of a mystery. The publisher for Art for Now contacted me pretty much out of the blue last year and told me he had seen some work of mine that he really liked and wanted to start talking about me possibly doing a Jazz Fest poster someday.
Wow.
So as we got to talking, it became more and more real. And yeah, wound up being this year, 50th anniversary. It's pretty incredible.
Being that it is the 50th anniversary, was there a lot of pressure?
Oh, there's a tremendous amount of pressure that I felt, that I placed on myself, the importance to get every last little detail right and to live up to something that is such an honor to be asked to do. Yeah. Super, super high pressure.
Now, as I look at your work, I can see traces of the cover art for the Beatles album, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, as well as Art Caine's 1958 photograph, A Great Day in Harlem, which portrayed jazz musicians in New York City. What was your inspiration?
You know, the very first conversations were that iconic photograph, as we really wanted it to have that feel where we get all of the musicians together as if it were a family portrait in a New Orleans setting. And as funny as it is, the Sgt. Pepper inference sort of happened accidentally.
How so?
Well, you know, I'm a huge Beatles fan, and I didn't set out to make that composition like that. And it wasn't until we got to, you know, the drawing phase and just about to painting when the statuettes, the bust of Buddy Bolden and Jelly Roll Morton were added, and there's the bass drum, and there's the musicians up front holding the horns, and I thought, you know, this is Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, isn't it? But I'm cool with that, you know? If you're going to pay homage to something, I think that's a pretty good one. And it happens actually to kind of coincide with the history of the birth of the Jazz Fest, so I thought it was kind of appropriate.
Meaning?
Well, the Jazz Fest starting in 1969, 1970, the change in the attitudes and music, and even here locally, I thought that would be a good visual launching point. But yeah, unintentional.
So, Scott, take us through the experience. Who are some of the world-class local musicians celebrated in this work?
Well, of course, first and foremost is Louis Armstrong, who is the greatest of all time. He really represents New Orleans. Fats Domino, of course, Irma Thomas, just the greatest of the greats, the people who really helped to create our culture. They created a style of music that's gone around the world. You know, Professor Longhair, all of the musicians in the front row there are just important to music in general, not just New Orleans music. I think they helped create something that just goes around the world.
Many of these musicians have been portrayed in previous editions of Jazz Fest posters. What makes this one different?
Well, you know, some of the earliest conversations with the publisher were that not only did we want to pay tribute to the Jazz Fest itself, but also the poster as an art form as well. And many of the great artists that came before me that made iconic representations of these artists, they pretty much got it right. So I just wanted to have kind of a wink and a nod to them as well. So we did try to picture almost all the artists that have appeared on posters previously. For example, the beautiful Doug Bourgeois poster of Irma Thomas. I thought, well, you know, he got it right. Let me do something that's kind of like that, you know. Here's my tip of the hat to Doug Bourgeois. And likewise to the poses of Pete Fountain or Al Hurt from the great Rodrigue posters. You know, I just wanted to kind of say, hey, thank you guys, you know. And I'm kind of in there, too.
Now, you know, upon first glance, it looks like the musicians were perhaps photoshopped for this setting, but that's not so.
No, it's a real painting, I got to tell you. You know, I do love that photorealistic style, and it probably comes from one of my earliest influences. As a kid, I really loved looking at the Norman Rockwell post covers, which were my favorite stuff. And it was because, wow, these look like photographs. They look like I can touch these people, you know? And so that is very important in my style. I represent them in that way because I want them to be real to people, to see them. That's very important to me. So I work from photos. I look at a bunch of different photos to try to capture things that you can't get just looking at a photo, you know, some of the personality. Or
so take us through your process of making the original painting that resulted in this poster.
Wow. Well, it was a lot of work. There were a lot of conversations directly with the publisher, who definitely had a very concrete idea that he wanted to get across. We had many conversations about, you know, if it's a setting, where should it take place? What sort of visual iconography should we have? Who should be included? I mean, there's hundreds and hundreds of geniuses of music in New Orleans here. Many people would not recognize. So really, who can we get in there and have it be legible? I just started sketching on our first few conversations, and eventually we landed on that composition that I thought would be cool that we have it on Rampart and Main Street, not far from Congo Square, Matassa Studios, you know, Professor Longhair's Mardi Gras in New Orleans, down on Rampart and Dumain. We managed to land on that after very much ado, trying a bunch of different ideas, and we thought that was cool, what we ended up with.
So we're seeing a lot of the musicians on a streetcar?
You know, it gave us an opportunity to do a kind of three tiers of portraiture. So we have really the most iconic, recognizable musicians up front, and of course, with no less importance as we go into the background, we get to the streetcar, which has all the Marsalis family and Mahalia Jackson and Ernie Cado. And we thought it'd be cool to have an opportunity to put some portraiture up on a balcony there. And those are some of the people who have been behind the scenes and creators of the Jazz Fest, some of the earliest photo documentarians, Michael P. Smith and Jules Kahn, Quint Davis, Allison Miner, George and Joyce Ween. So, you know, we had to figure out a good way to be able to get all these people in and have it, you know, be fun and read like a cool poster.
And it does.
Well, thank you. It's a challenge.
Tell us about your use of color.
Well, you know, I love pop and color. Always have. And there's plenty to be found here in New Orleans. You know, I always love coming back here and riding around with my buddy who has a studio down in the Bywater. And we just drive around in the mornings and see all the pop and color on the houses and the change of the season colors. And that's important to me. You know, I wanted to get those azaleas and Carolina jessamine colors. And, you know, if you don't like purple, green, and gold, you're in the wrong place. So we had to get some purple, green, and gold in there, and just pop and color vibrancy. You know, New Orleans artists are known for just dressing sharp. So I had to make sure I had their attire, had, you know, nice popping colors and earthy too. You know, I wanted to make sure that we had an earthy palette and have that realism amplified a little bit.
Now, when you were painting, did you listen to music? And if so, what influenced the work?
I make a point whenever I'm doing portraiture, and particularly this project, to be listening and learning constantly. So, for example, while I'm painting Professor Longhair, I am listening to Professor Longhair's catalog. I'm studying his life. Where did he live? Where did he grow up? You know, these are the things that help me be able to visually depict him and hopefully catch some of those intangibles in there, you know, that you don't get looking at a photo, some of his history, some of the stuff that he had to go through. I look at it as a chance to learn.
So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I was born here in 1971. I lived all over, but I spent most of my life living at my grandmother and grandfather's house on St. Anthony Street in Gentilly. I went to Brother Martin High School. I've always been a music kid. Played in bands since I was a teenager and grew up playing in rock bands, punk rock bands. You know, it didn't occur to us to play music like the Meters, although it was in the air and we loved it. You know, our take on New Orleans was what we were into, and always loved to draw. My earliest, I guess, art, if you would call it art, was, you know, we used to make flyers for our shows and stuff, and we'd make our little demos, and that was my art. You go and tack it up on a telephone pole. There you go. There's your art show. Come to the gig.
When did you know that painting was your calling?
I kind of got into it accidentally, really. When I was about 24 years old, something like that, I got a job at the House of Blues that had just opened downtown, because that was a cool job for somebody who wanted to play music at night. I could work in the t-shirt shop during the day and have a gig at night. And it was working there that I met a team of artists who were the scenic painters for those venues and got to be friends with them. And my little thing there was I did the chalkboards that were in the front window for the band that was playing that evening. And it was like, I'll get to hang out backstage and do the chalkboard. Maybe I'll run into, you know, whoever was playing. But I did meet the scenic painters who dug the chalkboards, and the lead scenic, Brent Spears, came to me one day and said, "Hey, man, I really dig your stuff. We're getting ready to do a new venue in Chicago. You know how to paint, right? I need painters." And I said, "Yeah, I know how to paint, sure." I'd never painted a lick in my life, but I figured I could just, you know, maybe fake it and he wouldn't know. So he brought me on the job, and there I am painting in Chicago. And, you know, suddenly I'm a painter.
That's an incredible story.
And it kind of just kept going. Yeah, I managed to fool them all.
Well, what are your thoughts as your poster comes on the heels of Richard Thomas's 20th anniversary Fats Domino poster and Peter Max's landmark 25th anniversary poster?
It's just such a surreal thing that I'm here and had been asked to do this. I can't believe it. I just know that all my friends and my family are very proud of me. I'm getting choked up. I could have never in a million years thought that I would be doing a Jazz Fest poster. You know, that's just not how I would have thought. I got the 50th. It's crazy. It's just beautiful and surreal.
How large is the original painting and where can we see it?
The original painting is 6 feet by 4 feet, and it's currently on exhibit at the Ogden with a couple of other smaller paintings and some sketches. We will have it at the fest this week on display in our tent, and it will be back at the Ogden through mid next month. We're hoping that it will live at the Ogden after this exhibit, so I'm crossing my fingers that people will get to see it.
Artist Scott Guyon, it's been fun talking with you.
It's been great talking to you, Diane. This is cool.
Jazz Fest Weekend 2 runs Thursday through Sunday at the New Orleans Fairgrounds. More info is online at nojazzfest.com. You can find more info on Scott Guyon's 50th anniversary poster at art4now.com. That's art, the number 4, now.com. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO, New Orleans Public Radio. I'm Diane Mack. Now across town, another festive celebration gets underway Saturday evening as the Arts District New Orleans kicks off its annual art stroll, Jammin' on Julia. Joining me with all the details is Leslie Claire Spillman, director of Soren Christensen Gallery and secretary of the Arts District New Orleans Association. Welcome to Inside the Arts.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
So much is happening in the Arts District. There has been an ongoing rebranding of this district in the last few years. How has that effort to attract more people to the district going?
It's going really well. You know, we're very fortunate in New Orleans to have an incredible art community, and that includes a lot of folks who regularly turn out for everything, all the wonderful programming that we do in the Arts District, especially our first Saturday gallery openings. And a few weekends out of the year, we kind of make it a bigger deal, and Jammin' on Julia is one of those. We've been working for several years to sort of rebrand the event and really try to pull folks in, perhaps after Jazz Fest or in lieu of Jazz Fest.
So what's new in the district this year?
We are constantly growing and changing. I've been at Soren Christensen for 16 years, and it's incredible to see the complete metamorphosis of the Arts District in that time. And it's certainly been going on actually longer than that. But really, in the last year, we continue to grow with the addition of new galleries, and we are literally surrounded by hotels and restaurants. And it seems like every week something new is popping up.
So this is the biggie, Jammin' on Julia. What can we look forward to at this year's art stroll?
Well, it's a good, proper street art block party. We are blocking off the 400 and 500 blocks of Julia Street. We'll have a main stage. We have a headliner that we're very excited about, a local favorite band, Bon Bon Vivant. They joined us last year and really brought down the house, and we are so happy to have them back this year. We also have a secondary performance space where we're going to have some really fun street activation and additional performances happening. We have a singer-songwriter, Sean Williams, who will be joining us, but we also have some Latin dancers, courtesy of the New Orleans Hispanic Heritage Foundation, and they'll be doing a performance and also some instruction to get folks out there moving.
How many galleries are involved this year? And tell us about some of the highlights. What are we likely to see?
Well, we have 12 member galleries and institutions in the immediate area. Most of them are on Julia Street, but several are on camp as well. We will be welcoming at Soren Christensen the fourth solo gallery exhibition of Daniel Minter, which, of course, I'm very excited about. But some more highlights on the street include world-famous glass artist Dale Chihuly, who has an incredible installation, one of the most beautiful installations I've seen Arthur Roger present. I know that that's going to attract a lot of folks. And then just down the way in the 200 block of St. Charles Avenue is another one of our wonderful member galleries, Stella Jones Gallery, and she's actually featuring one of my favorite artists, Delita Martin. She's an incredible printmaker and draftsman out of Texas.
Tell us about your exhibit, Othered by Daniel Minter.
Yes. Daniel Minter is one of my favorite artists that we represent. He is a brilliant African-American artist who's originally from a very small town in Georgia called Ella, but he's been out of Portland, Maine for many years now. He's got pretty incredible skill set as an artist. He's a printmaker. He's a sculptor. He does beautiful woodworking and then also traditional paintings, which are mostly what you will see in this Othered exhibition. This particular body of work, Othered, is based on the Malaga Island story, which is a little-known piece of American history. And actually, Daniel discovered this about a decade ago and has been really integrating the story into his work, making sure that people understand exactly what happened to the folks on Malaga Island.
Tell us the story, beginning with the title of the exhibit, Othered. What is meant by that, and who were the people of Malaga Island?
Othered is such a broad term that can be applied to a lot of the themes that Daniel has worked on in his work for many, many years beyond just the Malaga Island story. He frequently explores themes of the transatlantic slave trade in the work and the idea of home and the importance of home to one's identity. And when he learned of the Malaga Islands, it really sort of struck a chord and fit in very squarely with the ideas that he'd already been pushing in the work. The Malaga Island story, it was off coastal Maine. There was a really thriving mixed-race but mostly black fishing community at the beginning of the 20th century. These were free people of color who did very well carving out a lives for themselves and a livelihood based off of the land, off of fishing and services and goods offered to neighboring communities. And unfortunately, the state government at the time was sort of shopping the area around for resorts, and unfortunately, a tale as old as time, decided that the people of the Malaga Islands were sort of inconveniently placed there for their purposes, and attracting tourists and such, and they actually displaced, I believe it was 48 residents who were there. They literally exhumed bodies from the grave. They burned the schoolhouse to the ground. There were a few people who resisted, and they were actually committed to mental institutions in the area.
Wow.
Yeah. Daniel's out of Portland, and when he learned about the story, he was very struck that there's not more awareness, not just in the American consciousness of this story, but also just in Maine specifically. And when he renders what he calls these Malaga portraits, they are intended to sort of immortalize and celebrate these people who were displaced there and also give their descendants something, an image to really be proud of and to celebrate.
Take us through the exhibit. What will we see?
Mostly a body of work that was produced by Daniel when he was in residence at the University of Southern Maine. It's 12 portraits and a couple of landscapes that sort of celebrate the area and the people that were there. In addition, we're going to have some very loose studies on paper that informed these works, and then maybe a few existing pieces from our inventory.
How are you hoping viewers will connect with the exhibit?
Well, one of the delights of presenting Daniel's work and representing him as an artist is having the opportunity to share the work with people and to watch how Daniel's work really resonates with folks. Every time it's hanging in the gallery, it literally draws people in off the street, and it's a really powerful and beautiful thing. It's specifically Black people who feel compelled to come in and view the work and get very close and ask questions and have their pictures taken with it. It's such a confirmation of how powerful and important representation is in art and media.
What is the best way to explore the area and to really enjoy oneself at Jaminet Julia?
Well, I would definitely say the best way to explore the area is just to get out and walk around, come hungry, come maybe wanting a drink or two, come with an appetite for beautiful artwork, because all of those things can be satiated in the immediate area. But also for Jaminet Julia, we're a nice long event. We start at 6 p.m., so if you're looking for something to do before dinner, we also go to after 10:30. The music stops at 10:30, but we'll be going until 11 on the street. So really, after Jazz Fest or after dinner, we invite you to come out and take in some music and have a drink or two and really enjoy yourself.
Leslie Claire Spielman, director of Soren Christensen Gallery and secretary of the Arts District New Orleans Association. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Diane. Appreciate it.
Jaminet Julia kicks off Saturday evening, May 4th, from 6 until 11 in the Arts District. More info is online at artsdistrictneworleans.com. That's our show for this week. Major support for Inside the Arts comes from the Hellas Foundation. Additional support comes from Christwood Retirement Community, the Contemporary Arts Center, and the New Orleans Opera Association. Our program is a production of WWNO and is archived at WWNO.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette on Tuesdays at 1 p.m., Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m., and a shortened edition on Thursday mornings at 8:45, when we'll go Inside the Arts. I'm Diane Mack.